of Jesus, amen. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You have heard it that it was said of old, but truly I say to you." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we continue to look at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Jesus is teaching the crowds on the mountainside by all the green grass, and they are astonished at his teaching because he's not teaching like a mere man. He is teaching as one who has authority. And he says, "Truly I say to you." Dear friends, Jesus is the Son of God in human flesh. He is true God and true man. If he says, "Truly I say to you," we need to stop what we are doing and listen. And so we do today. Now, Matthew chapter 5 is in the middle part of the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to see today that you have a textbook example in Jesus of what is called the first, second, and third use of the law, but that he has kept the law for us, and that in his righteousness we live out our daily lives. The first use of the law, the Ten Commandments, is as a curb in society. We have the commandments to have laws in our society. The second use of the law is very important. It's called a mirror that shows our sin. When we look at the Ten Commandments, we don't feel good about ourselves. We see our sin. We see our need for a Savior. And in Christ Jesus, who fulfills all righteousness for us, the third use of the law, then, is a guide for our Christian life. How do we live God-pleasing lives as men, women, and children in Christ's kingdom? So, in the first and second use of the law, it is in that context, then, that the words of Jesus are spoken in these sometimes difficult-to-understand words of Jesus, but powerful nevertheless. Jesus says, "You've heard said of old, but I say to you." Our Lord Jesus Christ, as you heard in the gospel lesson, speaks of the fifth commandment, the sixth commandment, and the second commandment. The fifth commandment is, "Thou shalt not kill." The sixth is, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And the second, "You shall not take God's name in vain." When Jesus says, "You've heard it said of old, you shall not murder," which is the fifth commandment, "but I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother is guilty of murder." Our Lord Jesus Christ in the fifth commandment is enabling us to understand the true intent of the law. This commandment, "You shall not kill, you shall not murder," doesn't just mean you actually killing someone. If you have hatred in your heart and anger, you insult someone, you call him a fool, you make all kind of accusations against him, Jesus says you are a murderer and liable to hellfire and judgment. It's called the law and breaking the law. Then Jesus moves on to the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." He says, "You've heard it say you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Jesus is indicating here, you may have not had an affair with someone who wasn't your spouse, but you had lustful looks. Sexual immorality of all kinds is condemned. Non-biblical divorce. Divorce is allowed, of course, for desertion and for unfaithfulness. But when someone cruelly just gets rid of their spouse because they don't want them around anymore, all of this is breaking of the sixth commandment. You shall not commit adultery. It's the law. It makes us aware of our sin. And then he moves to the second commandment. You shall not misuse God's name. You've heard it said you should not make an oath, Jesus says. But all cursing, swearing, all manner of the misuse of God's name and taking it in vain is breaking of the second commandment. And he says, if you have something to say, don't say it because of heaven or before the throne of God. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Speak the truth. You don't have to swear. Now, what our Lord Jesus Christ is doing by highlighting the fifth, the sixth, and the second commandment is making us aware that we've actually all broken all 10 of them. We all stand condemned by the law of God because we've had other gods before Him. We have taken God's name in vain. We've neglected the Sabbath day. We haven't honored authority. We have hated, and we've lusted, and we've stolen, and cheated, and gossiped, and bore false witness, and coveted, and been envious. The first and second table of the law, to love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, because we have our old Adam, our sinful nature. We've broken all of them. And the second use of the law as a mirror shows that you have. And it's not a pretty sight. If you're like me in the morning, when you get up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror, it's not a pretty sight. You don't want to see me before I've shaved. When you look at the mirror of God's law, it's not a pretty sight. If you feel guilty for breaking God's commands, you should feel guilty. If you feel sorrow because of the wrong you've done to someone else, you should feel sorrow. But that's not enough. At the beginning of this service, we repented of our sin. We repented of all sins of thought, word, and deed. When we admit our sins as miserable sinners, we are not kidding. This is who we are according to our old Adam. We are sinners. And the answer to sin is admit it and repent. And that's the work, the second use of the law. But there's more to the story, because the story is about Jesus. Jesus kept the law perfectly in our place. Jesus kept all Ten Commandments perfectly on our behalf. You see, Jesus is the Holy Son of God, the second Adam. He came to undo the curse that came through the first Adam. Look at the life of Christ. In all ways, He is like us, yet without sin. He always trusted His Father and never took the Lord's name in vain. He was at Sabbath synagogue worship every week. He honored authority in His parents. He never killed anyone but hated them, but loved them and showed mercy. He didn't lust, He didn't steal, He didn't bear false witness, and He didn't covet. He is God in human flesh, the Holy Lamb of God. His keeping the law for us in theology is called His active obedience. He actively kept the Ten Commandments on our behalf. But He did more. He passively obeyed His Father and took the punishment we deserved upon Himself. All of our sin breaking and the wrath that we deserved fell upon Jesus on the cross. That is why He was crucified. He was crucified for our sin. Isaiah says in Isaiah 52 and 53, the stripes that we deserved fell upon Him. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God for us, and by His stripes we are healed. When Jesus gave up His lifeblood on the cross, He was doing that in your place, as your substitute, as your intercessor. When Christ's blood was poured out, the payment we could not pay was paid in full, once for all. By grace, that grace, you are saved. Through faith in Him and that all-sufficient sacrifice at Calvary's cross, you are forgiven and declared innocent through the blood of Christ that is credited to your account. That is the gospel, and that is good news. St. Paul said in the epistle lesson, that's your spiritual food and drink. The reason God sent Paul and Apollos and pastors and teachers is to plant the seed of the gospel, but it is God that grants the increase. In your life, God used people to plant the seed of the gospel in your life, and God has continued to water that, to bring it in the sunshine of His love, to water it by His word and baptism and absolution and Holy Communion, so that in Christ, who was planted in this field in His death, was raised to build up God's building and kingdom, ascended to the right hand of God as our intercessor. It is in Jesus Christ, who kept the law for us and died in our place, that you have complete forgiveness of your sins. And that is what you heard in absolution this morning. The law condemns, but the gospel comforts. But now that we are in Christ and through faith in His name, The third use of the law is a guide for your sanctified life. Indeed, we are called to do spiritual surgery on our lives. Being in Christ means, as Jesus said, if your right eye or right hand causes you to sin, tear it off, throw it away, lose it, cut it off. In other words, because of our old Adam, every day in baptism we're to drown the old Adam, cut it away. If it causes you to sin, say, Lord, remove it. Remove that curse so I can be saved from hell and be brought into heaven. Every day, the life of a Christian is one of repentance. Spiritual surgery on our lives every day. And you know those aspects of the life of your life which the Lord needs to trim away, like a gardener who prunes the vine. Let Jesus prune you and cut that stuff out of your life. Why? Because the Lord Jesus has called you to a new life, as Moses said to us today. Christ Jesus has come to give you a life where you choose life and not death. The third use of the law means that we will be faithful to our spouse. We will praise God in His name. We will not say oaths, but say yes and no and be honest with people. It means that we will teach our children about the Lord God, as Moses said today, the Lord's commandments, His ways, His statutes. Choose life, not death, that you and your children will live. Which means, my friends, love, obey, and hold fast to the Word of God. He is your life and your length of days. If you think your life is not connected to God, you are mistaken. He created you, He redeemed you, and He sanctifies you. The Lord only is your life and your length of days. So in conclusion, rejoice that Jesus did keep the law perfectly for you. Rejoice that He died in your place as the second Adam. You have righteousness in the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, and through faith in Him, you are accounted righteous before God the Father. Living out your baptismal life as someone who receives Christ's body and blood in Holy Communion means this. When Jesus says, truly I say to you, you will stop and you will listen. If you're a man, a woman, a little boy, a little girl, a husband, a wife, a child, a teenager, a college student, do you want to be the child of God? Listen to Jesus. Do you want a truly joyous life and bear your cross for Him? Listen to Jesus. Do you want to get to heaven? Listen to Jesus. For Jesus says, my friends, truly I say to you, we will listen with our ears and with our heart. To Him alone be glory forever. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.